Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. It's been 5 years since the last studio album by Carmel Michael. The Canadian-born singer-songwriter spent her high school and part of her college years in Racine, though today she lives in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
But she was back in Wisconsin this week for the U.S. launch party and concert for her brand new album, Daughter of a Working Man. We're hearing the title track from it now.
I could have caught you on the north side before I got my hands tied, but I didn't. No, I didn't. I could have called out for a savior.
But looks or sounds can be deceiving. This song, which opens the album, is not completely representative of how the rest of the album sounds. In fact, the album is so diverse, it would be hard to pick one track that is its defining sound. So we invited her to stop by the Lake Effect studio to share the story of the new record.
A working man. I'm just the simple daughter of a working man. Now I'm just the simple daughter of...
Carmel Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's great.
It's delightful to have you back. And I wanted to start by asking you about the first song on the new album. It's the title track. It is darker and more dissonant and maybe more layered than much of what we've heard from you before, and maybe darker and more dissonant than a lot that follows on this album. So why did you want to set the scene in this way?
Daughter of a Working Man started out as a really simple folk song, just acoustic guitar, you know. But I wanted to use it as a way to introduce the lyrical themes that are going to be on the album, but also to really mess with the idea of what folk music is, because I really think that we're in a time where we have so many tools in the studio and we can do a lot of things, and it doesn't change what the core of a song is. So there's everything from a 100-year-old pump organ on this song to a digital effect. So we kind of just took the whole spectrum of what we could use to paint color onto something that I felt was a strong core, the song itself, and then really do basically everything I dreamed of, you know? And it was incredibly fulfilling creatively to make.
Well, and it's such an interesting point because I think a lot of us think of folk as a sound, mm-hmm. and that the sound is equal to the genre. But if I get the point you're making, it doesn't have to sound like the Kingston Trio for it to be folk.
Exactly. I mean, I think the core of folk music is that, first of all, there's a narrative element to it. And second of all, that it's about the subject matter of it at its heart is something that is about people, the lived experience, and a common people, you know, like a majority sort of. And that's what the theme of this album is, like people up against a system that's bigger than them or up against injustice or loss or some kind of struggle and how they react. And sort of every song takes a different angle on that same sort of setup. And Daughter of a Working Man is that moment of decision. It's a person saying, I stood on the edge of something. I looked down. You know, I could have been broken by it, but I didn't. And that the real refrain for me in the song is the repetition of I didn't. That making that choice, I think, is very powerful.
What was the catalyst for that song?
I actually started it almost a decade ago. And I wrote it during a time when there was just a lot of struggles in my personal life, including my father was really ill and dying. And it was just one of those times where you sort of decide if you're going to take the reins or if you're going to sort of stop, you know, and get buried by things. And people face far worse issues than I've had in my life and have to make that same decision. I think that it's an important moment in your life anytime you come up against something like that.
The album is really, it's a diverse album. I mean, you know, there's a lot of diversity in this first song alone, but mm-hmm. then you kind of shift gears throughout the course of the album, and it feels to me like a musician exercising her muscles in some way.
Yeah, thanks for noticing that. You know, to be honest, I've always had trouble making an album that is a specific genre because as a writer, I explore a lot of different things. Like, I write with pop songwriters, I write with Celtic fiddlers, I write with blues guys. I've just done so much writing. And for me, the core is the songwriting. So whatever comes of it, I just really wanted to be able to create an album where the thing that connected the songs was the storyline or the theme, not the music, really. And for me, it all does, when you get to the end of the album, there is a cohesion to it. But for sure, there's a lot of different things on there. And I think that's a really interesting way to make a record.
You mentioned traditional fiddling, and mm-hmm. that shows up. I think it's in Spirits.
Yes, the most traditional one. Yeah,
and you are from Cape Breton, where there is a lot of that fiddling mm-hmm. going on, but that is not, strictly speaking, what we normally hear from you.
That's true. I had spent a couple years doing some specific projects for Celtic Colors International Festival, which happens in Cape Breton every year. And they sort of commissioned me to work as a contemporary songwriter with some traditional fiddlers, pipers, and create new music that melded the genres, which is something that I wanted to do. It was like kind of an idea I gave the festival, and they're like, sure, go for it. So a couple of the songs from that project ended up on this album. So you see this mixture of storytelling, songwriting, and then fiddle tunes coming in. And I find that mixture very interesting. I love that sound. I think people really like it because they're used to the sort of funness of the fiddle music, but the song anchors it a bit.
If the measure of a man is the thickness of his blood, I'll sink right to the bottom like an anchor in the mud. Whether captain at the table or feeding on the crumbs, I've been waiting on the bounty of a ship that never comes.
Is there much of a crowd for more traditional singer-songwriters in Cape Breton? I kind of imagine you surrounded by people who are step dancing.
That's the thing. I mean, I am a strange Cape Bretoner in that, first of all, I don't come from Scottish heritage. My parents were what you call come from a ways. My father was from Chicago, my mom from Montreal. I grew up on like Bob Dylan records. But around me was this sound, and it has influenced my writing. I mean, the narrative of like these old Scottish Irish folk ballads is very visible in my writing.
So fill my cup, boys, with spirits and good luck. Send me off, boys, with spirits and good luck.
Well, at the risk of taking that as a transition, there's a song that you brought along your guitar. And you're going to share one of the songs in the studio for us. What can you tell us about Caroline?
Caroline is a song that was inspired by something I saw while I was on tour in Western New York State a few years back. It's sort of a long story, but basically I went into a gas station there to stop and ask for directions. And I saw this poster. There was about 10 posters on the wall of missing persons. And one of them just stuck with me. Her name was Caroline. And a couple days later, I wrote this song for her. I don't really know anything about her, but something about her stayed with me.
She was born in the season when the geese go flying. Her mama was selling, her daddy was buying. She came into the world like a little bird crying. Name for her mama who was nearly dying, Caroline. Proud to a fault like her daddy was mean. Tall and thin like her mama had been. Lives like a lover at the age of 16. Chasing those taillights down the Carter Green. She wasn't no cherry, she wasn't no dove. Wise and wicked in the ways of love. Twice under the table and once above. Never let you catch her with her boots undone. Caroline. Now she's 5 years gone. And baby, don't the world go on. Yeah, she's 5 years gone. And baby, don't the world go on. Baby, don't the world go on. Of dawn, Blue Ridge Mountains, where her mama comes from.
Utah desert and the killing sun. Hollywood heat where the coppers run. Someone tell the papers what's going down. Someone write a letter to the city crown. Searchlight seeking, but she never found. Just a pretty face on a poster now. Oh, Caroline. And now she's 5 years gone. And baby, don't the world go on. Yeah, she's 5 years gone. She's 5 years gone. Baby, don't the world go on. Baby, don't the world go on. Baby, don't the world go on and on. Oh, 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 oh.
Carmel Michael in the Lake Effect Performance Studio with Caroline. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's another track on this new album, which is really, as we're talking, not long into the world. And we really ought to talk about it, that you have the first video from the album goes along with it. It's called Hold. And really, it's an anthemic little tune.
It is. You know, this song started a few years back and it sort of gained momentum, especially if you look around what's happening in our world in the last, you know, couple years. There's been a lot of changes and developments that make, sort of unfortunately, make this album or make this song more relevant than it even was the day that I wrote it. But it's about something that I think doesn't really matter what era it comes from. You know, the video is basically the lyrics of the album overlaid over archival footage of human rights protests, basically, from recently and the whole last century. And to me, it's very interesting that we keep repeating history. It's interesting that human nature allows that to happen. It's interesting that we have a short memory for things and we keep trying to do the same mistakes over and over again. And at the same time, people keep cohering into communities and fighting. And that is, to me, the most optimistic thing that you can remember, is that history repeats in a negative way, but it also repeats in a positive way, and that people don't give up. We hold together. We fight for a thing. I mean, this is a powerful idea. And I hope that no matter how sort of like depressing or far apart your political ideas might be from what's being represented in the world, there's always this idea that people can come together in masses, ask for change, and elicit change.
Out of the middle of the anarchy, out of the city like a refugee, everybody's telling me to give up, give up, give up. Out of my head, finally, as close to the heart as I'll ever be, even when they're telling me to give up, give up, give up. We gotta hold.
Do you have to be at heart an optimist at some level to be able to be a songwriter?
I think that if you aren't, it can eat you up, you know? I mean, there is no shortage of deep, dark places to go and sad things to focus on in the world. And it's important that sad stories get told. It's important that injustice gets talked about. But it's also important that we, again, it goes back to this idea of choice, that we make the choice to use it as a motivator.
Everybody's telling us to give up, give up, give up. Throw their money into the streets. Give me something I can keep. Even when they're telling us to give up, give up, give up. We gotta hold. We gotta hold.
We mentioned that you live in Cape Breton. You're from Cape Breton, but there's this period in your life where you were a resident of Racine, Wisconsin, which is one of the things that brings you here today and brings you back to Wisconsin now and again. I read an interview you gave with, I think it was a Nova Scotia breakfast blog called Déjeuner, which for my money is the best name for a blog in the history of the internet. But you were talking about the election in the U.S. that's just passed. And I guess you have dual citizenship still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your feeling about that American side of you that spent some formative years here as you watch this stuff play out from someplace that's fairly distantly removed from the mm-hmm. States, even from Maine?
I feel very connected. I am, I think in my heart, because I was born and raised till the age of 14 in Canada, there is a part of me that is my home, you know. But as you say, I was here for formative years and I have a lot of my family lives here. I care about it in a way and I'm connected in a way that is more so than someone who, I mean, not only my dual citizenship, but I just care about it. I'm very connected culturally to the American voice of a songwriter and the American voice as a writer. I study American literature a lot, and a lot of my heroes are American artists. And I think you can't know or understand American literature without knowing or understanding American politics and culture. They're just intrinsically connected. I care very much, but I'm also very careful about the fact that I don't live in this country. And so my concerns and my opinions have limitations, because I don't live here. And I think that makes me an outsider of a kind, you know? Even though I am a citizen, there's a sense of outsider, and I respect that distance that I have. And I don't like to step on the toes of people who perhaps these decisions, their political ideas, affect them in a different way because they're here and they live on the ground, you know? It's a complicated relationship I have with this place, to be honest. It's like someone that you kind of keep having conflict with, but keep coming back to. And there's no easy way to really describe it.
Well, I want to take us out with another track from the album. Before we wrap up, first let me say, Carmel Michael, it's always great to see you, and I hope you'll come back and see us again.
Thank you so much for these great questions. Great discussion.
What can you tell us about 1969?
1969 is one of my favorite tracks. I'm so happy that you're choosing this one. Again, really special experience in the album. It was just recorded me at the piano. I had actually never played the song on the piano before. I did two takes. Suddenly the song made sense.
This house is aching and the winter's proud. The wind is blowing our patience down. Now I've been counting, I've been...
And we sent it to a man named David Langstroth, and he heads up a quintet called the Rhapsody Quintet. And they arrange strings to the exact track, the way I played it, any weird thing I did. They did an amazing job. And it was always been a dream of mine to have this kind of strings arrangement done on a song. And I'm so, so pleased with what they did. It's a really special song for me.
Put a man on the moon. It don't seem right. It's you and me. I can't get to you. I can't get to you. And you're just across the room.
Well, it came out really well, and I'm glad we can share it with folks. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And all the windows are freezing up.
Singer-songwriter Carmel Michael was born in Canada and today lives in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. In between, though, she spent her high school and some of her college years in Racine, Wisconsin.
She was back at Racine this week for the U.S. launch of her new album, Daughter of a Working Man. You can see a picture from her studio session and find a link to more about Carmel Michael and the new record at WUWM.com.
They put a man on. They put a man on the moon. Oh, it don't seem right. It's you and me tonight. I can't.
And Carmel Michael's 1969 takes us out of the Wednesday edition of the show. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. Tomorrow on the show, we'll discuss urban autism research and special education in Milwaukee schools, plus focus on outdoor classrooms and a major exhibit at the Milwaukee Art Museum.
Thanks so much for tuning in today, and do be with us tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
It's 11 o'clock, and stay tuned. Fresh Air is next.
So tell me what you want to hear. I'll give it to you. Time and place will disappear. I'll give it to you. Give it to you. Tell me what you want.